Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
And this is the part where everybody gets up and abandons me. So the abbreviated title of my presentation this morning is Stand for Something. The full-length version is Stand for Something or You'll Fall for Anything. And I'd like to thank everyone for your prayers, but I don't want to continue until I ask God to be with us. Like our elder said, more prayers, more power, and I could use all the power I can get. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for your many blessings and for the chance to worship you here together today. We pray, Lord, that you will send the Holy Spirit to be with us. We pray that our worship will be wholly acceptable unto you. And I pray, Lord, that you hide me so that everyone will only see you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, one character trait you must have to be able to stand for anything is courage. So I'd like to spend the next few minutes talking with you about courage. Now everyone knows what courage is, but I wanted to get the official right out of the dictionary definition of courage. So according to the Oxford Dictionary, it is defined as the ability to do something that frightens one. Like standing up here all by myself. In the Webster Dictionary, it is described as having the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And if I can give just one more definition from the Collins English Dictionary, it says, courage is the quality shown by someone who decides to do something difficult or dangerous, even though they may be afraid. Which again means I'm being very courageous this morning. Nelson Mandela was quoted as saying, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers fear. There are several different types of courage. There is physical courage, which is something we might do physically to change the course of an event. There is moral courage. This is the most common type of courage that we all possess, the courage that we exhibit when taking a stand for something we believe in. You might say there is such a thing as social courage, which might include standing up for someone who's being bullied at school or work. And what about creative courage? An artist or a musician may exhibit creative courage in their works. I think the way I would describe creative courage is with the phrase, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But for today's presentation, I want to focus on the first two. And I feel the most common forms of courage, the physical and the moral. Now, physical courage is pretty self-explanatory. We take some physical action that is intended to help someone or something to prevent a disaster, injury, or death. For example, let's start way back in the Bible with a little shepherd boy named David. We've all heard the story of David and Goliath. This big bad giant was trying to pick a fight with his Israelites. And he wasn't going to be ignored. For 40 days, morning and evening, he taunted the Israeli army, calling them every name in the book, insult after insult, even calling into question their manhood. Today, that's called trash talk, which is pretty much a norm in professional sports, too. It's called trying to get the psychological advantage over your opponent, which is what Goliath was doing, and it was working. It tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11, that when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, in other words, all the trash talk from Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And in verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now, it doesn't tell us specifically that David was afraid, but I think it would be safe to say with the whole Israeli army in fear of this giant, David had to have some level of anxiety about going to battle against this immense foe. But I also think he had some Banty Rooster in him, too. And when he heard Goliath talking trash about his God, David's alert level went to code red. Say what you want about our army, big guy, but don't you talk about my God like that. And he had something else. He had the confidence that God would be with him. And when it's one plus God, it's a majority. Another example of physical courage, and I would submit too, moral courage, would be Desmond T. Doss. Most of you have heard the story of Mr. Doss. He was a Seventh-day Adventist who was drafted into the army during World War II. He wanted to serve his country, but because he was opposed to violence, he registered as a conscientious objector to serve as a non-combatant. He was the target of ridicule and scorn by his superiors and fellow soldiers alike because of his refusal to carry a weapon. Just part of the consequences of any display of moral courage. He was serving as a field medic in Okinawa when his unit came under attack by the Japanese, cutting down nearly every man. They were pinned down by the enemy in front of them and a cliff behind them. Mr. Doss rigged up a stretcher with a series of ropes whereby he could lower an injured soldier by himself over the cliff to safety, even while he was still exposed to enemy fire. He was credited with saving 75 lives that day by President Truman when he awarded him the military's highest medal, the Medal of Honor. You can get the rest of the story by picking up the movie or the book entitled Heartbreak Hill. I also think of a young man named Leonard Skutnik. Let me take you back in time to January 13, 1982. It was a cold and snowy day in the Washington, D.C. region, and a passenger plane, Air Florida Flight 90, was coming in for a landing in poor visibility, and it struck the 14th Street Bridge and crashed into the Potomac River. Some of you may remember this incident. The first miracle of the day was that initially, six people survived the crash, but they were now submerged in water that was reported to be only 1 degree above freezing. A human body can only survive up to 30 minutes in water that cold. Rescue crews arrived quickly, but soon discovered they couldn't reach the survivors with their rubber boats because of all the broken ice on the surface of the river. But soon after, a helicopter from the park police arrived and started picking up survivors. One of the survivors, a young mother, kept trying, but couldn't hold on to the lifesaver dropped to her by the helicopter crew because of her injuries and the effect the freezing water was starting to have on her. There was a young man amongst the crowd of onlookers who had gathered on the riverbank who saw she was drowning and would drown if somebody didn't help her and help her now. He realized he could stand there and watch her drown right in front of him, or he could try to help her. He immediately tore off his coat and boots and jumped into the freezing water, reaching this young mother as she was going under for what surely would have been the final time. And he dragged her to shore, rescuing her from certain death. That young man was honored just 2 weeks later by then President Ronald Reagan when he delivered the State of the Union address, honored for his courage and his willingness to risk his life to save a complete stranger. I wonder how many of us would have that same courage. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And please allow me this discretion to add, "and for his fellow man." I could go on all afternoon about genuine acts of physical courage that happen day after day all over the world. We could talk about 9/11. That terrible day changed many lives, mine included. It's one of those days you will forever remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard what was going on. It was a day when 343 firefighters, 23 police officers, and 37 Port Authority officers lost their lives. They died that day because they had the courage to run into the danger while everyone else was running away from it. Or how about our soldiers in every branch of the military who risk their lives every day in every part of the world so that we can live safely in our part of the world? Like I said, I could go on all afternoon and talk about people who are real heroes, people who have put themselves in harm's way to protect someone else. But there's another type of courage that's just as important, if not more so. For most of us, the need for physical courage is rare. But for all of us, our moral courage can be and will be tested on a daily basis. And the reality is that there are rarely any medals given out for someone who exhibits moral courage, but I say there should be. Moral courage is the courage we exhibit when we take a stand for someone or something despite what consequences may come our way because of our willingness to take that stand. Or we could say it like this: moral courage is the ability to take a stand in defense of a principle or a conviction, even when others do not. People who exhibit moral courage are often subjected to ridicule, rejection and retaliation, threats, and even physical harm to themselves or their family. And in spite of these potential risks, they have the courage to stand up for what they believe in. Let's go back to the Bible for a minute, because there are actually a lot of good examples of moral courage, and I only picked out a couple because we only have so much time here today. So let's start with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, I was probably 5 or 6 years old when I first heard about these guys, and I couldn't say Abednego. It always came out Tebedwego. When they were taken into captivity, these Hebrew slaves were given an opportunity to serve in responsible positions under the king. Part of this privilege was that they were expected to eat the king's meats and drink his wines. These young men refused to defile themselves by partaking. The fact that they were captive slaves, refusing to do anything the king commanded, could have gotten them thrown into jail, beaten, or even killed. But they stood up for their convictions, and God blessed them mightily. Sometimes, my friends, we've got to stand for something, or we'll fall for anything. They had the moral conviction to stand up for their God, and later on in the book of Daniel, we see them standing up to the king again. King Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold and had invited all the officials of his empire together for the dedication of this golden image of himself. And it was commanded to all that at the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whosoever refuses to bow down will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. In chapter 3, verse 8 of Daniel, we read that at that time, there were certain Chaldeans that came forward and accused the Jews. In other words, someone dropped a dime on them. The king got mad, and he had the three friends brought to him so he could question them. Looks like he was going to give them a second chance. Maybe it went something like this. Hey guys, I know you. I appreciate all the hard work you've done for my administration. And maybe you didn't get the memo, but I really need you to step up to the plate and do what you're supposed to do here. People are watching and you're making me look bad. Take a little time and think about it. We'll let it slide this time, just don't let it happen again, eh? Sounds reasonable, right? But the three amigos were having none of that. Let's look at their answer to the king in verse 16 of chapter 3. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. End of story, right? Nope. I love this next part. Reading on, it says, but if not, in other words, if God chooses not to deliver us, we know he can, but if he has another plan, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Talk about moral courage. Defiant moral courage. Bring it on, O king. You do what you gotta do, but we ain't bowing down to your gods no matter what. We've got to stand for something, or we'll fall for anything. You all know the rest of the story. God rewarded them for their faithfulness, and he even walked with them in that furnace. He didn't leave them or forsake them. And how about their friend Daniel? He was also a Hebrew, living in captivity, being tested every day while in the service of the government of his captors. Daniel was very good at what he did. Some people were jealous of Daniel's success, so they came up with a plan to get rid of him. You might think these guys had heard of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they came up with a very similar plot to take Daniel down. You see, they were aware that the Hebrew captives were very loyal to their God. So they conned the king into declaring a decree that for the next 30 days, everyone had to bow down and worship a golden image of the king. But Daniel made a decision to continue serving his God the same way he had been doing all his life, in spite of the potential consequences, which were being thrown into the lion's den, which would ultimately be a very violent and cruel way to die. Now, I suppose Daniel could have said, hey, I'll just lie low for the next 30 days. Let's not make a big deal out of it. I mean, after all, the Lord knows what's in my heart, right? I'm no good to him dead, right? But that's not what Daniel did, is it? In spite of knowing what would happen to him if he didn't abide by the king's decree, Daniel had the moral courage to stand up for his beliefs and for his God. There was a single Chinese young man who had the courage to stand for something. I take you back to 1989, to the city of Beijing in China, and specifically Tiananmen Square, where student-led demonstrations were taking place. This incident is recorded in history as the Tiananmen Square Massacre, during which thousands of people were thought to have been killed and injured. Tank Man, which became his nickname, stood in front of a column of tanks from the People's Liberation Army, blocking them from proceeding into the square. The photo of this one man standing in front of a bunch of tanks will forever be ingrained in my mind. No one knows for sure, but it is thought that he probably paid for that display of defiant moral courage with his life shortly thereafter. Let's look at a more recent example of moral courage. And if anyone is nodding off here, I'd like you to focus on the next few things I say here, because my next example involves a political figure. Not politics, but a political figure. And the only reason I bring him up is because of the moral courage he displayed, and not because of his politics. Nor will I say anything about whether I think he was right, wrong, or whatever. What I am speaking to is moral courage. The courage to take action for moral reasons despite the risk of adverse consequences. And the person I'm talking about is Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts and current senator of Utah. So unless you've been living in a cave or been in an extended state of hibernation, we've all seen the headlines since last September regarding the news of the impeachment trial of the President of the United States. As you are probably aware, in our Constitution, the Congress has the sole power of impeachment, and the U.S. Senate has the sole power to try all impeachments. In other words, the senators are the jurors. And so it was that Mitt Romney, along with 99 other senators, would be determining the guilt or innocence of the president. And I specifically mentioned Mitt Romney because he did something that no other senator in the history of this country has done before. He voted against the president of his own party. As I listened to the speech he gave just hours before the official tally was to be taken, the speech he gave to explain the reasons for his vote, I was impressed by the amount of moral fortitude it took for him to vote the way he did. In the opening part of his speech, he said this: "As a senator juror, I swore an oath before God to exercise impartial justice. I am a profoundly religious person. I take an oath before God as enormously consequential. I knew from the outset that being tasked with judging the president, the leader of my own party, would be the most difficult decision I've ever faced." He goes on to say later in his speech that, "In the last several weeks, I have received numerous calls and texts." Now here comes the pressure. "Many demand that, in their words, I stand with the team. I can assure you that thought has been very much on my mind. But my promise before God to apply impartial justice required that I put my personal feelings and biases aside." You can almost feel the anxiety he's going through to make the decision he feels is the right one as he continues. "I am aware that there are people in my party and in my state who will strenuously disapprove of my decision. And in some quarters, I will be vehemently denounced. I am sure to hear abuse from the president and his supporters." And here comes the kicker, folks. He adds, "Does anyone seriously believe I would consent to these consequences other than from an inescapable conviction that my oath before God demanded it of me?" He's been a politician for a long time, not his first rodeo. He was well aware he was probably committing political suicide, but his allegiance to God and to the oath that he took precedence. Moral courage is the willingness to take a stand in defense of a principle or conviction, even when others do not, despite the risk of adverse consequences. I want to have the courage of David to face my giants in my life, to be able to tell someone, "Say what you want about me, but you can't talk about my God like that. We need to have the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand up for our God in spite of a fiery furnace. I want to have the courage of Daniel, who boldly proclaimed his faith in the face of certain death. And yes, even the courage of Mitt Romney, who in spite of all the adverse publicity and public shaming by his Republican friends, took a stand for what he believed was right. My friends, the time is now to take our stand. Jesus is coming soon. Seems like every time we turn around, there's a new virus or disease killing many people. There are more and more earthquakes, tornadoes, and hurricanes, with a tremendous loss of life each time. There are millions of people around the world who go to bed hungry every night. And there's always the threat of a terrorist attack. It could be at a sporting event, it could be at a fair, or it could be right here in church. According to Matthew 24:8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. It's time to get off the fence. It's time to quit saying, I'll fake it until I make it. It's time to say, I will get up earlier than I absolutely have to so I can start my day spending some time with God. I will have the courage to speak up for God even if people mock me. I will not compromise my faith, no matter the consequences. It's time, my friends. It's time to take our stand. Let's resolve to have the courage to stand for something so that we don't fall for anything. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that you will give us a new sense of courage, a new sense of strength, knowing that you will be with us, you will not leave us, and you will not forsake us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.